Let us turn to the scriptures, beloved, and we'll look into the second epistle of John. Into John's second letter. And I hope that as the meetings proceed, that you will bring your Bible with you, and every time, and if you forget to eat or sleep, come and bring the Bible. Of course, if it's stowed away in your trunk or something, we'll understand what it might. But if there is anyone who hasn't got a Bible, will you say, if you would like to have one, there are some spares around, and we can share them. In this great second epistle of John, we're told in verse 4 that this great apostle and elder, verse 1, as you see, he calls himself the elder. He says in verse 4, I rejoiced greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And in verse 7, for many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourself, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. So much for Buddhists, Mohammedans, Guruites, and all the rest of them. Listen, all the false doctrines, Jehovah's Witnesses, Christadelphianism, Mormonism, all the rest of them that we want to talk about. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. They haven't got God. They haven't found God. Buddhists, Mohammedans, Confucianists, Taoists, all the lot of them. They do not know God. They have not found Him. That's what the book says. You may have been at some time in touch with people that talk about comparative religions, or write books about the same, or lecture on the same, who try to tell you that they've all got their religions, so on, and they all are seeking God and know God after their own way. They are not telling truth, they are liars. That's what this book says. Praise God. Hallelujah. You will know, of course, and here I follow up exactly what Norman has said and want to proceed from here, that it is quite impossible to believe in Buddha. It is quite impossible to believe in Mohammed. It is quite impossible to believe in any person that's dead. You can believe about them, but you can't believe in them. That's right. That's true, isn't it? You can believe in Jesus Christ because he's alive. That's why the Bible says we believe in him. You couldn't believe in me if I wasn't here tonight, if I'd been dead 100 years. You couldn't believe in me. You can only believe in someone that's actually alive. That's good. And aren't we all so stupid? And isn't it all so silly? We don't believe about Jesus Christ. At least if we do only just believe about him, we aren't Christians. to be one who is really God's, you must believe in the living, glorious Christ of God, and not just up there or out here, but in here. And this is the great and tremendous truth that this great book of ours reveals. And so then, beloved, we will apply ourselves to this thing. I suppose you could believe in the Maharishi, that's it, sorry, that the Beatles believed in. But you can only believe in him for what he has or what he can give. I suppose he can give a sort of a system of fixing your idea, thought on a subliminal idea and sort of keep repeating it and letting go of everything else and sort of achieving some state of animated suspension, I believe, or something like that. You could believe in him for that, but you can't believe in him for forgiveness of sins. You can't believe in him for being washed in his blood. I wouldn't want to be washed in it. You can't believe in him for showing you God. You can't believe in him because, yeah, you would only believe in him for what he's got or what he's able to give. You see, you can believe in Jesus Christ for what he is, what he has, what he can give. Glory! You can believe in Christ because he's alive! That's the glory of the Christian revelation. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? So you see, nobody believes in Buddha. They can't. You can believe in the Beatles for the stupid music they play to you, nearly driving you crazy. You can believe in them that, but you can't believe in them for forgiveness and salvation. You see? You can believe in Harold Wilson, if you want, for what he has to give you. Whatever it is. But you can't believe in him one moment after he's died. You can only believe about him. Say what a good man he was. Do you see? But because Jesus Christ is alive, you can believe in him. Amen. What a wonderful thing. Now that'll bring you out of all your muddles about these so-called comparative religions. Once you know the real truth. Would that all the lecturers in our theological colleges, and would that all the tutors in TCs knew the truth, but they don't. They're handling subjects. They don't know him. Well, perhaps I ought not to say all, but you know what I mean. By far, the largest amount. But we will address ourselves, beloved, to this truth as it is. We're coming on to something that's positive, dogmatic. Praise God. The truth is dogmatic. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When you're on revelation, when you know God, then, beloved, it isn't mere dogma. But you will never find that the Bible writers venture to suggest or sort of tentatively put an idea over. They're very clear, very dogmatic. Anybody that moves in authority is always dogmatic. If they're loving, then it's all right. And if they're not loving, you know, their truth isn't worth much to them. And here's the wonder of it all, beloved, that we should move in this great truth. And this book says this, that verse 7, that many deceivers are entered into the world. And you'll always tell a deceiver, listen, they confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Verse 9, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. You may say God, 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 every other word. It doesn't make any difference. Oh, very religious word. It doesn't make any difference. It's whether or not, now listen, it doesn't say It doesn't say that you don't believe about Jesus Christ. Notice what this inspired apostle is saying. It says, if you don't abide in the doctrine of Christ, you haven't got God. Do you believe your Bible? Now, I didn't write it. I love to say this. It's a good start to any conference. But we're here to believe it. And we're here to minister the truth that's in this book. And this is the greatness of it. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. And if there come any unto you, and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that abideth, that biddeth him Godspeed, is partaker of his evil deeds. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. Amen. Hallelujah. This then, beloved, is the great truth. And John was on this wonderful thing of the revelation of the doctrine of Christ. Let us examine it in the scriptures. For, beloved, the doctrine of Christ is not what the scientific lecturers for these theologians, the scientists, they've got a sort of a science of God. It isn't what the scientific lecturers call Christology. The doctrine of Christ is something so much more wonderful, and we'd better look into it together. Firstly, in the Gospel according to Matthew. And here then is the first great thing about the doctrine of Christ. In the middle almost of the chapter 16, Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias or Elijah in the Hebrew form, and others Jeremias or Jeremiah in its Hebrew form, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, or son of Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Amen. And here then is the first thing about the great doctrine of Christ, that the blessed Lord Jesus Christ, Son of Mary according to the flesh, and Son of God according to spirit and nature. He then is the great Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. That God fathered Jesus into the world through the flesh of Mary. Amen. Miraculously conceived and born on this earth. Praise his wonderful name. Of course, if God was going to accomplish the thing that he'd always said he was going to accomplish, this had to be. This had to be. No mere man, as born of man through woman, could accomplish it. God had to break into this world of ours. God had to come and be manifest in the flesh to do this tremendous thing. And this was the thing that God in Christ Jesus sought to find out, which is the thing he was so insistent about, who do men say that I am? It's absolutely important for men to know who he is. It's not important whether you know anything about Khrushchev or whether you know anything about all these other fellows. It's not important that you know what's going on in Czechoslovakia or in the White House or in the House of Lords or Parliament. It doesn't matter what's going on with the Boffin boys and the backroom boys. It doesn't matter whether you know about the flower people or anything like that. The important thing for you to know is who is Jesus Christ. That's the important thing. That's why this great point, Caesarea Philippi, was the turning point in the life of Jesus Christ on the earth. He moved from there on into the final display and fulfillment of it all. Jesus Christ, Son of God, Son of the Living God. That's him. That's the first great thing about this doctrine of Christ. And the next great thing about this doctrine of Christ is in 1 Corinthians. And in 1 Corinthians, we find in the 12th chapter this great truth. Verse 13, by one Spirit, we all are baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Verse 12, for as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Bless the name of the Lord. The glorious Lord Jesus Christ was manifest on this earth, beloved brothers and sisters, and He had a body of flesh and blood, just as you and I, that he might be transfixed on that cross, that he might be made into sin, as our brother Norman has read also from these letters to the Corinthians, from the pen of Paul, by the Spirit. And he was nailed there, that in that body on the tree he might bear our sin away and make the one perfect and sufficient sacrifice and oblation for sin. Amen. Amen. That he might bear, that he might be identified in that act with that old man, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Glory be to God, that we might be forgiven from God's heart, that we might be cleansed in Jesus' blood, that we might be set free from our sin, set free from our former heredities and bondages and backgrounds and inhibitions and everything else, and be made totally new creatures. And praise God, in this great resurrection, this living Christ, he has ordained that by drinking into his one Spirit, that be being baptized by Jesus Christ, not in water, it doesn't matter whether you believe you should have been sprinkled or whether you should have been dipped in the River Derwent, or whether you should be ducked in Frensham ponds or in the sea. It doesn't make any difference at all. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Or whether it's like I'd been in once or twice a canvas, or is it a plastic tank, belongs to Arthur Wallace, erected in houses down there in the southwest of England, and where they've been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they may display that they are the possession of Jesus Christ, and that they've been taken over by Jesus Christ, and they've been baptized by Jesus Christ into the body of Jesus Christ. being made to drink into the Spirit of God. And that's Christ in the Spirit. Are you abiding in this doctrine? This is the teaching that the Holy Ghost, by inspired writers of the Scriptures of truth, has laid for us to believe and accept. And being illuminated in our minds and being acquainted of it in our intelligences, we should seek God until we know we are in it in experience. That we have been miraculously, yes, miraculously, as miraculously as Jesus Christ was conceived in the womb of Mary and born in flesh on the earth, so as miraculously, as great a miracle, I say a greater miracle, so have we been baptized into one to make a spiritual body for Jesus Christ to live in through all eternity. And at this stage of God's unfoldings, both in heaven some and some on earth. Amen. That we are members of the body of Jesus Christ. If I ask you, have you abode in this doctrine? That is, are you living in this doctrine? That's what the word abiding means. If you say to me, where do you live? I might say to you, I have my abode in Exeter. See, that's where I live. Same word. I'm not there very often. But never mind. That's where I officially live. But the tremendous truth is it, beloved, that we have been got hold of by God to be members of the Christ. Amen. And there's never a true Christian on this earth anywhere unless they are a member of Jesus Christ. And they've got to know that they're a member of Jesus Christ. They've got to know it. Hallelujah. They haven't just got to believe it. Say, the Bible says so, right? It must be true. You see, there are lots of things I believe in the Bible. I believe that God's going to make a new heaven and a new earth, but I don't experience that. I have to believe that. I do. I believe it with all my heart. And I reckon it's nearly time it happened too. The world's so gone wrong and filthy. I don't know what you think, but I do. But praise God, I'm not here to tell God his business. I believe that. But this I experience. Glory be to the name of the Lord. I experience this, that I am a member of Jesus Christ. That I am so much a member of Jesus Christ that he can't live without me now. I belong to him any more than I can live without my arm. Or I can live without my head. I can't live. You say, your arm is dispensable, man. I know, but when I'm being baptized into Jesus Christ, I become indispensable to him. He doesn't do things like that for nothing. I belong to him. I am his. Oh, hallelujah. This is the glorious experience of the fullness of that which Jesus Christ wrought on the cross. Amen. I'm in Christ. I'm a member of the Christ. I am Christed with the Christ. I belong to God. I know God. I just don't believe about him. I'm identified with him. He can pick me up like I can pick up my foot and say, that's mine. That's part of me. Amen. It's part of me. Hallelujah. Isn't this a wonderful thing? Are you like that? Amen. Now let's go a bit further. And this time we'll go into those great epistles of John. And in these wonderful epistles of John, one we read, for instance, this is what we read. Here we are. Verse 7 of that second letter. Many deceivers are entered into the world. who confess not that Jesus Christ, now eyes down on your book, this is very important for you to read your Bible and believe what it says, literally. Amen. They do not confess that Jesus Christ is, that's now, present tense, not did, is come in the flesh. That's the third part of the great doctrine of Christ. Amen. This great revelation, this doctrine of God Himself, given into the book for you and I to read and understand and enter into by experience, is that He was manifest in the flesh to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself, that He is now alive in the Spirit to baptize us into one great spiritual body, and the third thing is that He comes into my flesh. That I am a member of His spiritual body and He's dwelling in my fleshy body. Here it is. Nearly 6 foot of it. And if you're only 5 foot nothing, it can be just the same. It doesn't make any difference. And I confess to you, I want you all to hear my confession. I don't know whether you want to put me in the dock and get a confession out of me. Here it is. You may take it down and use it as evidence against me or for me. I don't care which way you look at it. Here is the truth. I confess to you that Jesus Christ is in my flesh. Amen. And listen to what it says. If you can't confess that, it says, you're a deceiver and an antichrist. What? Well, read your book. And believe your book. It isn't sufficient to you to say, oh, I believe that Jesus Christ was born of Mary, I believe in the virgin birth, I believe in His sinless life, I believe in His glorious atonement, I believe in the redemption in His blood, I believe in the reconciliation unto God, I believe in the atonement, I believe in His burial, I believe in His resurrection, I believe in His ascension, I believe He's sitting on the throne, I believe He's coming again. That's not good enough. I won't make you a Christian. It's not believing in a historical fact and revelation truth. Praise God. It's so believing God, and God doesn't make you believe Him. Unless you open up your whole life, spirit, soul, and body, unto God, and let Him come and take complete possession. He bought you, spirit, soul, and body at Calvary. You've no right to yourselves. You belong to God by that purchasing act. But He doesn't reckon He's got you till He's living in you. Amen. Amen. When He's living in you, this blessed Jesus Christ. This is what John says in his first epistle. Look at the fourth chapter. Didn't love it, he says. Now, see, God's in love with you. He's talking sweetly in Durian now. Beloved, he says, believe not every spirit. Don't believe every spirit that's flying around in this old world. Try the spirits, whether they are of God. You see? Now remember what we read about whether you're of God or not in that second epistle. This isn't just a test of finding out whether a person's got a demon in them or not. Try the spirits, whether they be of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And prophecies come forth from the spirit of a man. You understand that? Prophecies don't come out of his head. They come through the spirit of a man. Amen. Hereby know you the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come, present tense again, in the flesh, is of God. Dave, seeing that you prophesied tonight, is Jesus Christ come in your flesh? It's all right, brother, I tried your spirit. I know He's there. You prophesied, I prophesied. He prophesies, many prophesy. It's Jesus Christ come in your flesh. You've no right to open your mouth until he has. You would be teachers, preachers, Sunday school teachers, lecturers. Glory be to God. You see that damage, the deception that's going on in this world? You see why our young people have been led astray from their mother's wombs? You see why they want the yah, yah, yahing of beetles and all other kinds of insects? Do you see why they want it? Don't want the pure glory of God? You see where it all came from? Demons and heathendom, they're sitting at the feet of a Maharishi. I hope you've never, as Christians, given your heart up and opened up to these people. They've been purveying demonic influences upon the world, and they've given George medals for it. God forgive us. That's our country. Pandering to Satan from the very heights. No wonder. Where we are. It's not my business to be critical here. It's my business, beloved, to set forth truth before our hearts, that we know which way we're going. Here's the great revelation of God. You're not to believe everybody that says they're a Christian. You're not to believe everybody that stands up and preaches. You're not to believe them just because they trot out the Bible to you. You ought to know their spirit. And a man hasn't... You can't trust a man's spirit to talk to you. You don't open your heart to him. You don't open up and receive from him unless he's been baptized into Christ and is authorized as an integrated member of the living Christ of God, as though Christ himself was in the flesh and talking to you. You must not open to him, nor listen to him. Amen. This is the great and glorious truth. God has made this so safe. Once we're in this way, we can open up all our being and all the Lord. Amen. Because Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. And when Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, I tell you, beloved, he cleans up that flesh. Oh, Lord. He doesn't have sin in fornication and uncleanness. He doesn't feast in your eyes on the Daily Mirror scripts and cartoons. He doesn't have that listening, feasting your eye on rottenness on the television, jamming his souls up with all the muck you can find in paperbacks. Nay, he cleans up the flesh. Jesus Christ comes in the flesh. In the flesh. Isn't it a marvelous thing to have Jesus Christ in the flesh and to confess that he's come? Here. Can you? If I said, stand up everyone now that can confess that Jesus Christ is in their flesh. Would you get up? Now this is going to be dead honest. Didn't say believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. This is the, because you have absolute knowledge that he's the Son of God once you're here. There's no arguing about all these crazy doctrines that people want to peddle over your doorstep. You know you're beyond their reach. You know what they don't know. Praise the name of the Lord. He's in the flesh. Praise God, he's in the flesh. In the flesh. Oh, that makes a man beloved. No wonder. Oh, John goes on down that fourth chapter there in that first verse. Beloved, let's love one another. Oh, it's the flesh. Let's love one another, pure and holy. Yet don't trust anybody else. Men who've wanted to know God have shut themselves off in monasteries and beaten their flesh because they can't trust it. It's so treacherous, and get the name for being pious. Women go and shut themselves up in nunneries because they want to be holy. They can't. Nobody tells them the truth. They're told this system of trying. That's right, Norman, isn't it? This man told me himself, the easiest thing for him would have been at one time as a monk. Because he wanted to be what God wanted him to be. But you can't get it that way. Jesus Christ has got to come in your flesh. He purifies it then. Hallelujah. He purifies the sons of Levi. Glory. That's it. He's in your body. Here. Praise the name of the Lord. That's wonderful, isn't it? That's the third thing about the doctrine of Christ. And now let's go, shall we? This time we'll go to the Colossian letter. And in the Colossian letter, you will find this great truth speaking about in verse 25 of chapter 1. Speaking at the end of the verse, you see, about fulfilling the word of God, even the mystery, which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery, right out here among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. You haven't got a hope of glory if Christ isn't in you. Misery and frustration. That's right. Uncleanness. Fighting a losing battle. That's, you haven't got a hope unless Christ is in you. Not a hope. Nobody has. Amen. This is what makes a man say, oh, for a trumpet voice on all the world to call, to bid their hearts rejoice in him who died for all. For all, for all. My Savior died. That's right. This is the great truth, beloved. Christ in us. Amen. Not just in me. You see, we've all got to confess, be able to confess individually that he's come in our flesh. But actually the Greek word there is in the midst, entos. Christ in the midst, or among you. That's right. I haven't got all of it. Amen. But all of him. But he's so great that I'm just about a little sort of a, you know, just a, that's all. He's so wonderful. He's so great. Amen. Jesus' harmonious name charms the hosts above. They evermore proclaim and wonder at his love. 'Tis all their happiness to gaze on Jesus' face. So we're told. That's it. Praise his wonderful name. Christ among us, beloved. Oh, the hope of glory. This is the mystery. This is the mystery. This is the outworking of that great truth that he said when he was on the earth, that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. Glory, glory, glory. We worship and we love him, and this is a church, and he's here, and this is the wonderful mystery. Our hearts are carried away in love by the blessed Spirit, and we know him in the midst of us. This is it. Is this really true? This is what it's all about. Christianity isn't a sort of an alternative religion to Satan worship or Buddhism or humanitarianism or something. It's a knowledge of Christ. It's knowing him personally, intimately. It's a knowing Jesus Christ. He's alive. This most wonderful being and person. It's a prostration of the self at his feet. It's an in love with him. It's a being his disciple. It's following him. It's wonderful. I get beside myself. What do you do to make it known? Nobody knows, because you can't know Jesus Christ. Just as the man of Galilee, you can only know him in this wonderful glory of being made one with him and passing on into all the blessings of his life.
was brought here on this earth. And beloved, if people come to your house or you go to anybody else's house and they haven't got this doctrine, they are antichrist. Antichrist. They're all part of the great system of taking away from the full glory of the precious Christ, from whence in the end there is going to be an antichrist raised up in the end to seek to destroy the name of Christ off the earth. Amen. But beloved, they can't do it. They can't do it. You ask Richard Woolbrough. They can't do it. Praise the name of the Lord. You see, one in Him. Amen. Oh, isn't this a glorious thing? Now, this precious doctrine of Christ goes on and on and on. Let's have a look into the Ephesian letter. And in this wonderful Ephesian letter, this is what we're told. In the fourth chapter, it says this. You know, the first part of the fourth chapter is a great continuation of this revelation. Yes, let them come in, brother. They won't upset us. We're sort of got very well grounded now. We can't be upset by little things. Step very lightly because you'll come off awfully on those tapes. That's right. Now everybody sit down and settle down. And be all at rest. We won't have any more going in and out because we should think it's not a goose fair. That's right. And here's the great truth. You will know that the first part of this fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians here is concerning this being all baptized into this body of Jesus Christ. All the special things that are told us. Now let's go on. In verse 16 it says that, or you see, Christ is the last word of verse 15. Got your eyes down? The last word of verse 15. Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joins together. It is a marvelous thing, you see. It's great doctrine of Christ. It just belonging to Him. Now you're a member of Him. You fit it into Him, you know. Just like my arms fitted in here. Praise God. But I'm fitted into Norman. And He's fitted into me. And I'm fitted into you. And you are. If I take up Norman, it's because he's always my chopping block. And we know one another very, very well. And we say all kinds of things like, well, I've said the same of you, you see, but it's safest if he has a go at me and I have a go at him, we can settle this some other time. But he does, too. It's poor me sometimes. But there's the tremendous truth, beloved, that I'm fitted in. We fit in. And there's such a lot of you, if you don't fit into this, into a true fellowship, if we don't fit into it, there's something wrong somewhere. There's sin somewhere. There's something's all out of gear. Fitly, it says here, fitly joined together and compacted. Oh, glory. This isn't a loose fitting. This is a glorious tight fitting. Amen. That's right, isn't it? And compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, and we are making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now, you can ask me, if you'd like to ask me, you needn't ask me, I'll say it quite publicly, if there's one thing I want above another in this conference, is that we all edify ourselves in love. And when we leave this conference, beloved, we shall be the lovers that the world is wanting to see. I'm not meaning that. That fleshy, sickly, sentimental, fawning thing that people call love. I mean this great, robust love that's risen up out of the seed of life in the blood of Jesus, that made him every inch a man and the most glorious man this world has ever known, to lay down his life to redeem them that hated him, or enemies against God and didn't want him. This is the kind of love we're talking about. Oh, this is, it sort of courses in, it almost as though Christ so lives in my flesh, I've changed blood now too. The Bible says they that wait on the Lord shall change their strength. You've got it, renew their strength in your version. It's change strengths and change it and change life and change everything, move on into this glorious revelation and knowledge of God. Why, this is marvelous, edifying ourselves in love. And it goes on, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you've heard him. Have you ever heard Christ? There are millions of people who've never heard of him. Never heard of him. That's not what the book says. It says, heard him. Have you ever heard Christ? Glory. Have you heard him? I was speaking with someone a little earlier today, and just but recently has this precious young soul come to know the Lord. Mr. North, she said. She said, he tells me what to do. Yeah. Tells me what. I surprised, she said. I thought, you got a lot of it to come, Les. Glory. When you've heard Christ speak, and you're not being tossed about by the milling thoughts and suggestions and auto-suggestions and I don't know what. But when Christ comes clear in your soul and you hear the voice of God within and Christ talks to you and directs you. Have you heard Christ? That's what he's for. He's not to leave us milling about, picking a verse out of Isaiah and something that Samson said to try and get guidance. It's Christ we hear, not Samson or Isaiah. Glory be to God. Christ. That's what he's for. He's the Word. He's the voice of God. You heard him. So many people, they hear the devil. Or they hear something else. They know the Gettysburg speech. They know all about that. Or do they? Or they know Portia's mercy speech. What silly old Shakespeare says. About the quality of mercy being not strained. They know all that sort of thing. But in your head of heart, Christ, he's alive to speak by the Christ thing within you, the anointing that John speaks about in chapter 2. Have you ever heard him? This is the doctrine of the Christ, the living, glorious overtaker, taker over, the one who has come to live so that it's his voice that dominates within, his power, his life, his spirit now, that is the power and drive of you, and you're not driven here and there and tossed to and fro, you're not carried about by winds of doctrine, you know this glory of the revealed Christ within your own heart, you love him, you worship him, you go down Amen. Only this day I went and sunk down by my bed and I said, oh Lord, what do you want me to say to them? Didn't know I was going to say this. This is always my trouble. Glory be to them, Lord. This is the truth. If people haven't got this doctrine, they're deceived. And they'll deceive you. That's right. I talk about this, and I talk about the other. It'll all sound so right. They'll thump their Bibles. They'll bring out their theories. But oh, when you go away and listen to Christ, if you've heard him, you've learned that the truth is in Jesus. That's right. The truth is in Jesus. And that Jesus Christ has come into your flesh, and the Holy Ghost has come to make you live like Jesus on the earth. Yes, that's right. Take away that nasty, fighting, awful, selfish attitude inside. He'll take away that attitude that won't turn the other cheek. He'll take away that attitude that can't throw the second mile. He'll take away that backbiting. He'll take away that envy. He'll take away those unspoken and oftentimes unspeakable things inside because they're so rotten. He'll take them all away. Glory. The truth is in Jesus. Amen. Whom do men say that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's right. Now, this is the purpose of God coming to you and me, beloved, by the Spirit. This is the great doctrine of the Christ as it is unfolding in the precious book by a revelation of the Spirit. Amen. And so I could go on, but I suppose I hadn't better go on too much longer. Some of you have travelled far today and you want a good night's rest and want to go bang into the meetings in the morning. I think we've got 9 of them to come, so we'll need to be pretty fresh. And the Lord lead us all on into this. All on into it. Praise him. The great doctrine of the Christ, where we all hold the head, and the head is Christ. Praise God. Amen. It's all Christ. It's Christ is all and in all. Christ is over all. Christ is everything. Amen. Hallelujah. This is where we start dancing. This is where our feet take up the story, as well as our tongues. This is where our hands take it up, as well as our faces. Hallelujah. That we can dance and joy and sing and praise our glorious God. It's all Christ. The strains gone, the worries gone, the fears are gone, the doubts are no more, the devil's defeated, darkness is past, love's come, light's come, Christ is here, the same Christ. He said, I'm the bread of life. He said, I'm the light of the world. He says, I'm the true vine. He says, I'm the good shepherd. He says, I am he that healeth you. He's all here, it's all Christ. Is that right? Is that how it is with you? Yes, it's all Christ. Now, John said, I love to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Go back to that epistle. And in that glorious epistle, a lovely little letter. I found thy children walking in truth. Amen. Glory. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Verse 8. Look to yourselves. Don't you lose anything that's been wrong. You receive a full reward. Amen.
Abide in this great doctrine of Christ. Just live in it. Christ, blessed, blessed be thy name, Lord Jesus. Just thou in me, thou with me. Lord, it's thy will now that's working in me. It's thy voice that speaks, it's thy word, it's thy deeds. Blessed Lord Jesus Christ, I abide in here. Hallelujah. Glory be to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that so with you? Is that so with you? That's the truth. That's the truth. Believe it, my beloved friend. Open your heart now to the truth. Listen, the truth is that Jesus Christ came from heaven, died on the cross to bear away your sin, rose again that you might be baptized into him by the glorious Holy Ghost, and that he might come and actually live in your flesh here. You see, live inside here. That you might be turned by the glorious Spirit into a reproduction of and a likeness to the Lord Jesus Christ on this earth. You are not to be hounded by fears. You are not to be tormented by the past. You are not to be in bondage to any sin. You are not to be a slave to any man or woman except the love slave voluntarily, like Jesus Christ. You're not to be afraid of the devil, afraid of the judgment day. You're not to have to run away from Jehovah's Witnesses or try and fight with Mormons. You're not to be swept up with the lustful throb and beat of the world's music. You're not to give yourself over to what the world is so full of. You are to be given unto God that he can pour into you the very fullness of it all. And that you lose nothing. And I want to tell you that in the end, there's a reward for everyone. Who will, so trusting the Lord, give himself up entirely unto Jesus Christ, leaving everything if necessary, relatives, homes, friends, enemies, ambitions, pasts, presents, and futures, and will go out in Christ and live for him. That's the call of the Spirit of God. That's the Christ. Amen. That's him. Do you read any different from that upon the page of the New Testament? Isn't 20th century Christianity we're supposed to be preaching? I mean, when this great controversy arose up about contraceptives in the church, and the Pope spoke, and I read some letters, and he's not abreast of modern theological thought. Well, what's that got to do with it? Do you think Jesus Christ would have done it? Ask yourself a question, and that'll answer it all. It's Christ. It's Christ. Fancy having to leave it to the Pope to make a statement that our sorry Archbishop isn't mad enough to make. Fancy. It's a disgusting commentary on our land. And God forgive us. God forgive us. There is Christ can come in your flesh and control it, my man, my woman. If you'll let the Spirit of God have you. That's the revelation of Jesus Christ, not flying to pills and potions and things that men can concoct. Living in the arms of Jesus, knowing the manhood of Christ working out for you. This is the glory of God, not flying to chemists.
Glory to precious Jesus. Glory to
God. Sorry, there's a chemist here. I love him and he loves me. We understand one another. We'll fly into one another's arms before the conference is through. It's all right. This is the truth. He's come. In the flesh. Glory. Glory. This is all my salvation. This is the mystery. That blessed man that lived in one body on the earth now can live in millions of bodies and reproduce the same life and make them identical with himself.
That's the power of it all. That's the glory of the coming of the Holy Ghost. This is the gospel. This is where all our hope lies. This is all our faith is in it. This is whence all our love cometh. This is where it all lies. Is that right? Praise God. So we can move in this wonderful realm of freedom. Because God's taken over. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I said I'd finish early. You know, beloved, what state you come in. You know why you've come to this conference. Norman said, why are you here? Well, perhaps you can answer him up. I could have told him why I'm here. But the glory of it all is the love that Jesus Christ is living. We can't believe in a dead person. It's impossible to. You can only believe about them. You can believe in the living. And all the virtues and wonders and powers and sweetnesses and tendernesses and compassions and loving kindnesses and all the glories of him, I have them. I want to grow in them. I want them to develop in me. Hallelujah. Have you got them? Let's pray.